Open the door. Big Jim pulled the handle. There was a very faint whoosh as the door swung back. Run! Sean shouted. He drew back the bowstring and fired through the doorway. The flaming arrow vanished into the noisome darkness. There was a pause of a few heartbeats. Then the tower exploded. It happened quite slowly. The green-blue light mushroomed up from story to story in an almost leisurely way, blowing out stones at every level to give the tower a nice sparkling effect. The roofing leads opened up like a daisy. A faint flame speared the clouds. Then time, sound, and motion came back with a thump. After a few seconds, the main doors burst open and the soldiers ran out. The first one was smacked between the eyes by a ballistic king. Sean had just started to run back to the fight when someone landed on his shoulders, bearing him to the ground.
"Well, well, well, one of the toy soldiers," sneered Corporal Svitz, leaping up and drawing his sword.
As he raised it, Sean rolled over and struck upwards with the Lancrastian peacetime army knife. He might have had time to select the device for dissecting paradoxes, or the appliance for detecting small grains of hope, or the spiral thing for ascertaining the reality of being, but as it happened, it was the instrument for ending arguments very quickly that won the day. Presently there came a short shower of soft rain. Well, certainly a shower. Definitely soft, anyway. Agnes hadn't seen a mob like this before. Mobs, in her limited experience, were noisy. This one was silent. Most of the town was in it, and to Agnes's surprise, they'd brought along many of the children. It didn't surprise Perdita. "They're going to kill the vampires," she said, "and the children will watch." "Good," thought Agnes. "That's exactly right." Perdita was horrified. "It'll give them nightmares." "No," thought Agnes. "It'll take the nightmares away. Sometimes everyone has to know the monster is dead, and remember, so that they can tell their grandchildren." "They try to turn people into things," she said aloud.
"Sorry, miss," said Piotr.
"Oh, just thinking aloud."
And where has she got that other idea, Perdita wondered. The one where she told the villagers to send runners out to other towns to report on the night's work. That was unusually nasty of her. But she remembered the look of horror on the mayor's face, and later the blank, engrossed expression when he was trying to throttle the count with his chain of office. The vampire had killed him with a blow that had almost broken him in half. She fingered the wounds on her neck. She was pretty certain vampires didn't miss, but Vlad must have done, because she clearly wasn't a vampire. She didn't even like the idea of rare steak. She'd tried to see if she could fly, when she thought people weren't looking, but she was as attractive to gravity as ever. The blood-sucking, nah, never that, even if it was the ultimate diet programme. But she'd have liked the flying.
"It's changed you," said Perdita. "How?"
"Sorry, miss."
"You're sharper, edgier, nastier."
"Maybe it's about time I was then."
"Sorry, miss."
"Oh, nothing. Do you have a spare sickle?"
The vampires travelled fast, but erratically, appearing not so much to fly as to be promising entries in the World Long Jump Championships.
"We'll burn that ungrateful place to the ground," moaned the Countess, landing heavily.
"Afterwards we'll burn that place to the ground," said Lacrimosa. "This is what kindness leads to, Father. I do hope you're paying attention."
"After you paid for that bell tower, too," said the Countess.
The Count rubbed his throat where the links of the gold chain still showed as a red wheel. He wouldn't have believed that a human could be so strong.
"Yes, that might be a good course of action," he said. "We would have to make sure the news got around, of course."
"You think this news won't get around?" said Lacrimosa, landing beside him.
"It will be dawn soon, lackey," said the Count with heavy patience. "Because of my training, you will regard it as rather a nuisance, not a reason to crumble into a little pile of dust. Reflect on this."
"That weather wax woman did this, didn't she?"
said Lacrimosa, ignoring this call to count her blessings.
"She put herself somewhere, and she's attacking us. She can't be in the baby. I suppose she wasn't in your fat girl, Vlad.
Plenty of room in there.
Are you listening, brother?"
"What?" said Vlad distantly as they turned a corner in the road and saw the castle ahead of them.
"I saw you give in and bite her. So romantic. They still dragged her off, though. They'll have to use quite a long stake to hit any useful organ."
"She'd have put herself somewhere close," said the Count. "It stands to reason. It must have been someone in the hall."